Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
It was hard for me to get a credit card, forget about a loan. I used to order COD, you know, it was very difficult in the 90s. They will not throw at you with credit cards like right now. And I went to the manager, and he was Hispanic, and I said, I'm sure your parents came here. They were immigrants, and somebody gave them a chance. So, of course, after half an hour, I convinced him. My charming personality, I use that all the time. And I'd never had a business plan written. When I started, I never thought that I would be where I am today. But I knew that I could make a difference, because I knew I had a secret and I could share with women, and I believed in my dream.
Hey guys, welcome to Breaking Beauty,
the podcast all about the best-selling beauty products and the damn good stories behind them. We're your hosts, Carlene Higgins
and Jill Dunn.
Hi everyone, happy new year.
We wanted to kick 2019 off and loop you guys in on some really exciting news for Breaking Beauty.
Yes, we are joining a network.
Yay, an official pod fam.
Mm-hmm. They are called Dear Media, and they are all about putting an emphasis on female hosts and voices. So we feel very privileged to be a part of that.
So some of their shows include The Skinny Confidential.
Yes, with Lauren Everett's Bostic.
Yeah,
you guys love that episode.
They also have Work Party with Jacqueline Johnson from Create and Cultivate. She's amazing. And they have We Met at Acme, which is a really cheeky, fun dating show. Mm-hmm.
That's So Retrograde.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people are familiar with. So we're very honored to be in this company. Mm-hmm. And to be part of a movement that is celebrating women's voices.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people know the podcast industry for the past 10 years has been very male dominated. So we're kind of like, you know what? Let's try flipping the switch. Let's try something new here.
Let's have some ladies share some stories.
Yeah.
I think the biggest difference for our listeners, or from our listeners' point of view, is that you will be hearing us in your feeds every single week now.
That's right. Every Wednesday, we are doubling our frequency. We are doubling down.
Yeah. And, you know, most of you know that we're all about interviewing brand founders. That's not going to change. We're going to have a founder on every other week,
bringing you the damn good stories behind the best-selling beauty products.
Totally. And then we're going to have our Glow Down episodes, which is where we dive into hot topics, products, tips, and trends. And if we have an opportunity to chat with a really cool makeup artist or an influencer.
Or give you the damn goods on ingredients you're really interested in.
Yeah.
Separating the greats from the gimmicks. We're always trying new products. And, you know, we obviously look at our analytics, and it seems like you guys like them 50-50. You like our founder episodes as much as our Glowdown episodes. So we're just going to keep doing that, but more often.
And we want you to connect with us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast, or in our private Facebook group, which is Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room. Yeah. You can search for that on Facebook and weigh in on who you want us to have on the show. Would you like, since we're having more episodes, like, let's open the floodgates. Let's hear what you have to say about who else should be on the show.
Who's in the stars for 2019, yeah. you guys?
Well, if our first guest is any indication,
it's going to be fucking large.
Like a blowout year, yes. honestly. Mm-hmm. So let's tell everybody.
We have Anastasia Soare in the house today, and she is the Anastasia behind Anastasia Beverly Hills.
And it's her first podcast she's ever done.
Yes. Wow. Kudos to you, Jill Dunn. Because honestly, you pulled this shit together and fast.
Like, out of thin air.
That's what I love about you.
This is my Instagram creeping really paying off.
Yes, 100%.
Not even creeping so much as just being like very susceptible to the Instagram algorithm.
Well, you know what? Maybe we have to thank those little crawling bots yes. that are all over your Instagram. So when they hear you talking about Anastasia, they yeah. served you up an ad.
Somebody's hearing me say, Anastasia is my number one guest. And then boom, I get an ad. No, but what really happened was I got served an Instagram ad saying that Anastasia herself was going to be at Sephora Yorkdale. Mm-hmm. I saw it at 3:00 on Monday. Mm-hmm. 3:01 p.m. I was emailing her PR team in New York City,
yep.
who I've never met before, but I have contacted before, saying we would love to have her on the show if ever the stars should align.
Yeah.
And then a flurry of emails went back and forth. By 10 p.m. that night, we had set up the time for the next day.
Yeah.
And boom, there we are.
There we are, sitting in the Four Seasons, clinking coffee cups and talking about the whole backstory about how this billion-dollar brand got started.
Yeah. And I love how she just right away indicated or showed us exactly who she was
yeah.
with one gesture.
Well, first of all, there's just looking at her. Okay?
Yes.
Because Anastasia, to meet her, she's so polished. She looks like a first lady, no joke.
Yes.
Like her clothing, her attire is so put together. There's a Chanel, there's the long hair, makeup on point, high heels, probably Louboutins, you know?
Yeah. And total girl's girl, though.
Yeah.
Like very
oh, yeah,
much.
Very feminine. Very sophisticated.
Absolutely. The time of day that we were interviewing her was around 3:00, I think. Mm-hmm. People were finishing up their lunch just a few tables away from where our private area was. You could kind of hear them, but yeah. you couldn't really. It was just a bit of a background
yeah, you could
noise.
Hear them a bit. Yeah. And she kind of said, you know, do you think we should go over and just ask them to be quiet really nicely? And Jill and I are looking at each other like, we're Canadian. We don't really do that. We're like, no, it's fine. I think it's going to be fine. And,
yeah.
and sure enough, within a few minutes, she's like, I'm just going to go and talk to them.
Yeah.
So that was really funny because she just went over. We didn't really hear what she said. She came back. They were left smiling. They quietened down or they moved tables yeah. or whatever. And we kind of figured out everything there was to know about Anastasia in that moment.
Yeah. So she's charming. She's direct.
Yeah.
And
she's ballsy, man.
Ballsy.
Yeah.
And that set the tone for, you know, our amazing interview with this amazing entrepreneur.
Yeah. So we're going to hear all about her backstory growing up in communist Romania.
Yes.
Which is fascinating because I think it's unlike, you know, most of our experiences. Mm-hmm. I think most of our listeners and, you know, coming to North America where she kind of reset and yes. restarted with humble beginnings there.
It's the American dream. It really is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she showed us on her phone mm-hmm. right away when we sat down. She was like, I was just in Poland. I just got off a plane.
Yeah.
And she showed us what an icon she is, especially in Eastern yeah. Europe, because it was fangirls screaming
right.
for her like she was a Kardashian
yeah.
To them because they're so impressed by what she's done and
what
how
she
far
represents.
And how far she's taken her vision and, mm-hmm. And the all of the financial and, you know, all of the kudos that she's gotten all around the world from just being extremely disciplined and good at mm-hmm. what she does.
And so Anastasia basically built a brow empire.
Yeah.
You know, she opened a brow salon in Beverly Hills
yeah.
and she trademarked what would become known as this golden ratio technique, this approach toward structuring and shaping brows
mm-hmm.
and very quickly drew celebrity clientele.
Cindy Crawford was her first mm-hmm. celebrity mm-hmm. in her chair, which if you think about that timing, it was the supers
yeah.
during that time.
And Cindy's brows were fucking famous.
Yeah. And then she had Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
you know, because those things are like a commodity when you're a model. Like if you think about Linda Evangelista, yeah, what she was absolutely known for. And it's funny because in the 90s, initially you might have like associated like Gwen Stefani brows or these like very thin mm-hmm. brows. So to make a whole empire about brows when people were plucking them and over plucking them is pretty crazy too.
Well, then they fucked them up. They had to get them back. They didn't exactly. know how to draw them back in. Exactly. So she created stencils. She created products.
Yeah.
But I think what is really incredible about Anastasia Beverly Hills is that they are pretty much as well known now mm-hmm. for their other face makeup, their palettes, their eyeshadow palettes that sell out within seconds, their contour palettes. And they are almost more popular now for that than mm-hmm. the brow product. So how do you take that when you grow this very niche-centric brand and blow it up into something else that now other competitors have to fight to try to beat?
I'm sure there's brands out there right this second trying to figure out her formula for success. Oh, yeah. How did she do that?
Well, they better be tuning into this episode because she fucking drops a lot of knowledge. Her company is 20 years old now, 300 employees, 485 products sold in more than 2,000 stores, and they just got huge backing this year, right? And as a result, Anastasia will now be expanding further into Europe and Asia. So global domination.
Totally.
Happening right now. And but why don't we talk about the icon?
Yeah.
The bestseller.
Yeah. So that's...
You've been trying it.
That's my favorite is the Dip Brow. Mm-hmm. This is the Dip Brow Pomade. There's 10 different shades of it. I am ash brown.
Okay. I think it's like $23 in
Canada. Yes, in Canada. And it's $18, I believe, in the US. And let me tell you, a little goes a long way. It's a tiny pot that fits in the palm of your hand. You could probably have this for like 6 months to a year, I swear, and not use all of it.
Yeah.
Worth every penny. It's such high quality. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. It's waterproof. Mm-hmm. Why it's so iconic. It's waterproof, doesn't move.
Yeah.
Very soft and blendable to put on. Mm-hmm. Put it on. An absolute must is to put it on with a stiff angled brush. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come with it. You have to buy that separately. She has one. There's other brow brushes out there, but I really like hers. And you dip it into the pot. You put a little on the back of your hand to sort of warm up the product, and then you apply in soft strokes. And then there's a spoolie at the other end of the brush, mm-hmm. and you want to brush that through. So it just makes mm-hmm. the color look all blended and perfect. And
if I could just interject for 1 second, if you want to know the technique, there's a ton of tutorials mm-hmm. on the Anastasia mm-hmm. website, also on Instagram. It's all about the golden ratio technique.
That's right. And we're going to hear more and more about her tips later in the episode. And also she tells us what she thinks of our brows. Are you guys nervous for us? I think that day you forgot to put brow product on.
I had a fucking naked brow on that day.
Because it all came together so quickly. We had like no time to prepare ourselves. Almost barely had time to get the questions together.
So true.
But so I highly recommend this. This is a makeup artist fave. And I think it is well worth every single penny. And speaking of value, I think you have a palette that you're going to talk about.
I am obsessed with the limited edition Sultry palette. It came out this fall. I hope it's still going to be out by the time this episode runs because I am truly obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. It's 14 shades, $59. It's mm-hmm. neutral and cool tones. Most of them are in sort of the brown and tawny family. Mm-hmm. There's a hot coral pink called Bloom that I've been wearing every day. I've been having so much fun blending it with all the different colors, like this sort of tawny color, the dark brown. They've got like a rose quartz. They've got glitters in here. But the glitters, even though they look very disco ball, they go on like a beautiful shimmer. And that's one thing that I have now realized is what sets this company apart and why it is a $1 billion company is because the quality is fucking outstanding.
Absolutely. The quality and the value. I mean, there's like those crazy palettes out there, the Natasha Denona palettes that are amazing also, but they're $250.
Yeah.
This is like such good bang for your buck. And after meeting Anastasia, I can tell you with confidence, this woman is not letting a damn thing go to market that is not, doesn't have performance to back it up.
Yeah, she was saying that they can be testing 40 to 60 products at any given time, and they'll only bring 3 or 4 to market because that's how stringent they are. And when I say they, by the way, Anastasia's daughter is a huge part of the company. Yes. You're going to hear that about that as well. But, you know, I'm not a professional makeup artist. Yeah. I'm like an everyday mom. I do my own makeup. And I can tell you I've tested a lot of palettes this year. And although I might like 1 or 2 colors, I have yet to meet one where I've liked 12, let's say, of the 14 shades in the palette. I've been using it every day, having fun with it, getting compliments, blends like a fucking dream, lays down like a dream. And the other thing that I like about it is that I'm very pale and I have a bit of redness in my skin. Love it. Anastasia was wearing it the day we met, olive skin. She was loving it. Mm-hmm. And she had said they had fully tested it to make sure it wasn't going to be chalky on dark skin tones. Yeah. So I think that in terms of a sure bet buy, you have it right here.
Yeah, exactly. And I just came off like a bunch of TV segments and I was using the powder contour palette. I had not tried that before and I thought it was a really great, great quality. And I love it's actually like the palette is super lightweight. It doesn't have a heavy, bulky mirror in it. So you're just getting quality no matter what you pick up from this brand. And it's honestly fascinating how she's been able to just elevate and transform it from just a niche brand into this industry giant.
Yeah. So her backstory is absolutely fascinating. You're going to want to grab a little jigger of vodka, sit back and enjoy. Here she is, Anastasia Soare.
My name is Anastasia Soare, and I'm the founder of Anastasia Beverly Hills. I was born in Romania from a family of Macedonian. They emigrated there in 1939, and I grew up going to school. I was really, really into art, mm-hmm. being as well a gymnast. and grew up in a communist regime. And the only thing that was good to do was just going to school and study in library. And we didn't have too much to watch on TV. Mm-hmm. No computers, no phones, no cell phones. So you just read.
Yeah.
We lived in a big house because my parents, my mother was like the woman that inspired me to be who I am today. She was a spitfire. She had a tailor shop with my father. My mother used to make clothes for women. And me being in art school, I used to design the clothes for her clients. She was the one that introduced me to the golden ratio, how the body is in a great proportion. So she will take the measurements of the body and she will say, well, the client has smaller shoulder than her hips. Mm-hmm. So she will measure around the shoulder and around the hips. And like, well, we need to add shoulder pads to balance her body. That customer service that I learned was mm-hmm. definitely from my mother. And the school was, we had incredible teachers and you really had to study. And believe it or not, we used to go 6 days a week.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And when did you do gymnastics? I need to know after all about hours, Romanian gymnastics.
I know. After hours, yes.
Yeah.
You went to gymnastics or a sport or you played an instrument or you went to art classes.
Yeah.
So this is how our childhood was.
Yeah.
Was there any particular thing you remember from your childhood that was maybe a bit more of a struggle, or I'm sure there were some challenging times growing up during the 70s and 80s in Romania?
Yes. The early years of my childhood were amazing because the communist regime wasn't that strong. Starting late 70s, I think Ceausescu wanted to pay the entire debt that the country had, and he really starved the country. Mm. So we didn't have, after 6 o'clock, we didn't have electricity. So you had to do your homework at the candlelight and no heater in the winter, because if you didn't have electricity, you couldn't have a heater, and you went basically to sleep like you went to skiing. You were dressed with pants and socks, and it made me really mad because this was a country that was very rich. Romania was a very rich country. They had everything to sustain the population, but no, he wanted to pay the debt, so he starved the people. And it was very tragic to see how people will struggle to be in line to have something to eat for hours. It was so unhuman, and I couldn't take that. That was the reason why I wanted so much to leave the country. Mm-hmm. And I did in 87. My husband was ship captain. He defected the ship, and I was able to come 3 years later. I couldn't mm-hmm. come immediately mm-hmm. because I wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, in a way, he came here and he said, well, this is not that easy like you thought. You don't speak the language and probably will be smart if you will go to beauty school, because every Romanian, Russian, Polish was an esthetician in LA at that time.
Right.
And what time, what year was this?
Beginning of the 90s.
And so was that your first job, or did you have like a high school job first?
No, I worked with my mother.
Yeah,
because
right.
my father died when I was 12. And in that communist regime, to be able to, I mean, you are not able to have a business, your own business.
Mm.
But my mother was such a shrewd businesswoman that was able to make clothes for all the wives of Communist Party men.
Right.
And
wow.
and she was able to hold that business mm. just because they were all in love with her clothes. Remember, in Romania, you couldn't walk in a store and buy clothes already. Everything was made to order.
Wow.
And I had to help her to keep the business. And I think working in fashion for me, just because I feel like wasn't my decision, I didn't want to be in that
right.
business
right.
when I came here.
Right.
Not that I wanted to be in beauty business, but...
Yeah, you kind of fell into it, but
just,
good thing.
There was no other job that I could have without speaking very well the language. So obviously in a communist regime, we were not allowed to study or watch any movies that there were mm-hmm. after the 60s. Mm-hmm. So everything we'll watch or read all the classics,
mm-hmm. yeah.
starting
right.
with the Greeks and history, mm-hmm. geography. You had to spend a lot of time mm-hmm. and was nothing else to do. Do you understand? We
yeah.
didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
And the only way you could feel proud about yourself was your status, how much you read.
But what a culture shock that must have been for you to come to America and land in
the
LA,
first six
right?
months, I think I cried every day.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we had a beautiful home. We had everything we wanted. The
mm-hmm.
reason why we left was the freedom mm. of speech. We wanted mm. to be significant. We wanted to do something here. And I mean, we lived in a small apartment, and I think the biggest shock that I had was because I was away from my family.
Mm.
And definitely I wanted to go back, but the bad part was the fall of the communists was 4 months later, and it was such a chaos in Romania that we couldn't go there because I didn't know what it was, so we were stuck here,
mm.
and I thought that at least... You know, I'm going to do something
yeah.
until I will go back.
Yeah.
And I start working as an esthetician. And after a year and a half, I wanted to rent a space,
mm-hmm.
a room in a salon in Beverly Hills, just to experience that dream, that American dream. That was the time when I started working on developing the eyebrow technique, because I realized in the 90s, nobody paid attention to eyebrows.
Yeah,
I was working with the biggest movie stars, the supermodels, and nobody paid attention to eyebrows. And I remember my art teacher that always said, if you want to change an emotion when you draw a portrait, change eyebrows.
Mm.
And then I remember that in high school, all my pictures, I looked surprised because my eyebrows was tweezed, but was tweezed wrong. And was the aha moment. I felt like once I start slowly going to the library to discover this code, the secret code, I thought, oh my God, I have to share with everybody because
mm-hmm.
This is so major. This
yeah.
is important.
Can you explain it to us, the golden
the
ratio
golden
technique?
So the human eye is encoded to recognize the proportion, balance and proportion of the face. Of course, a very small number of people have the perfect proportion with the face because the face from the hairline to the eyebrow base of the nose to the chin has three zones. So those mm-hmm. should be three equal zones. So by shaping the tweezing too much, let's say, you create zone number two too big and zone number one too small.
Right.
So you lose that proportion.
Right.
And by going too high, you will look surprised. Mm-hmm. Or going too low, you could look sad. It's one feature on our face that changes that proportion. And of course, the way the eyebrow should begin is above middle of inside of the nostril. This mm-hmm. straight line is the beginning of the eyebrow, corner of your nose, corner of your eyes. When it meets the eyebrow should be the end, and tip of your nose, middle of the iris, this imaginary line that meets the eyebrow should be the highest part.
I remember you doing this on Oprah.
Yes, yes.
She was lying back, right?
Yes.
And it was like the one, two, three.
It's incredible how everybody remembers that. I mean, she was incredible.
Okay, Joe, let's see a split screen of my brows before and after. Oh, look at that. Wow. Before and after. Wow. Wow.
I created five stencils, and by taking one by one, you will be able to establish what is your perfect arch.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of the first clients?
Oh my God, Michelle Pfeiffer, Faye Dunaway, Jennifer Lopez, mm-hmm. Sharon Stone, Penelope Cruz. I mean, who was
everybody?
Everybody.
That's amazing.
Everybody.
And when you opened your brow studio in 1997?
Seven.
Right?
Yes.
That was really new at the time, right? Because there were hair salons.
Exactly. There were three major hair salons in Beverly Hills.
Right.
And the owner didn't want to rent me the space because he thought that doing eyebrows, I would not be able to pay the rent.
Yeah.
And I had to convince him that, hey, no, I promise you I'm going to make this street famous because I work with so many celebrity clients. And I don't think he believed me. I'm not leaving this place. I will not convince you. And I told him, like, give it to me for 6 months. And a week later, I mean, was a line before I will open the salon. So he called me like, what did you say you do there? Because those women are here at 8:30 in the morning or sometimes 8 o'clock. So, was the best kept secret.
Did you have a business plan? I think a lot of women that want to get into business or they have a talent and they want to turn it into a business, they're like, oh, do I get a loan? Like, it can be so overwhelming.
Yes. It was hard for me to get a credit card. Forget about a loan. I used to order COD, It was very difficult in the 90s. They will not throw at you with credit cards like right now. And I went to the manager, and he was Hispanic, and I said, I'm sure your parents came here. They were immigrants, and somebody gave them a chance. You have to give me a chance. So, of course, after half an hour, I convinced him, my charming personality. I use that all the time. And I never had a business plan written. When I started, I never thought that I would be where I am today. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I could make a difference mm-hmm. because I knew I had a secret and I could share with women mm-hmm. and I believed in my dream. Mm-hmm. And I never believed that it's going to be that big, but I believed in it.
Yeah. And while all of that's happening, you're also a working mom.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I was working nonstop and I felt so guilty because my daughter always used to complain that you are never home, you are obsessed with work, and you are never at my activity at school. I couldn't go because I couldn't leave my clients. And then I figure out maybe I should, in her vacations, I should give her a part-time job. And she started working with me at the salon. And I knew that would be the bug.
Now she's still with you, right?
Yes.
So we want to talk a little bit about when you started your product line.
Yes.
That was in 2000, is that right?
Well, I started in 96. Mm-hmm. And by 2000, we launched the line, yes.
Was that always a dream of yours?
No, it wasn't a dream, but there were no products for eyebrows. So to finish the eyebrow after I will wax, I will mix some eyeshadow with Vaseline and aloe vera to create like a pomade. And the client will say, well, but I go home and the next morning, my eyebrow doesn't look the same. And I realized I need to make some products. It was a necessity.
That's probably the most iconic product, the pomade. And so what was so groundbreaking about that product?
What is so great is because it's a waterproof, it's a creamy texture. You have to apply it with brushed 12 or 14 that is specifically designed for this product and allows you a few seconds to brush to give a natural look and then dries and it doesn't move.
So it started out as a brow brand and now it's so much more. You know, we're looking at the palettes right now. I know a lot of them sell out so quickly. What made you decide one day we're going to do color?
Not too many people know this, but when we launched in 2000, we had the full makeup line. So we had eyeshadow as well. We had it for the salon, and then we launched in 20 Nordstrom's with the makeup. I didn't know that we need to hire a makeup artist to sell the products. So we didn't have money to pay the makeup artist. So we kept only eyebrow products. And we had the service there. So the esthetician was able to sell the eyebrow products after she would do the eyebrow. And because we couldn't keep the makeup, we had to pull back the makeup. Mm-hmm. And we relaunched in 2013 when we had already a presence on Instagram. And my daughter, brilliant daughter that I have, she said, Mom, let's do this on Instagram. Let's start with contouring, because contouring was based on the same theory, the golden ratio. The most important thing is eyebrows, and the second best is to learn how to do contouring. Mm-hmm. Contouring existed in Hollywood long before, but everyday woman didn't understand the importance of contouring, because this is basically, again, from the art classes. If you think about it, if you take a piece of paper and you start drawing, you start shading using dark colors and light colors. So the human eye, well, it's encoded to see the light and dark, and you create a 3D effect. So with dark color to contour, you minimize certain piece of parts of the face, and light color to enhance certain. And then you create the blush and you create the 3D effect. Because if you use only foundation, your face appears flat mostly, even if you have 3D already, because your bones are in a 3D plane.
Structure.
Yes, yeah. Structure. By using contouring, you enhance the cheekbones. Yeah. You hide, let's say, your jawline is wider and your nose is too wide, your nose bridge is too wide, and with makeup, with contouring, you could create a thinner nose. Or your nose is long and you want to make it shorter, you could do that. This is a foundation that we were able to combine science with beauty. Mm-hmm. Because this is human eye is encoded to recognize that. Mm-hmm. And we start creating products that will address exactly that ratio, the golden ratio.
So basically, I think that you much invented influencers.
I know.
Because before smartphones and everything, I read and I understand, I've heard you say before, that you were like scouting people in a way, saying, hey, they're pretty good at doing what they're doing.
But they could do better.
They could do better. They need a little production help. Correct. So what did you do?
So my daughter discovered, she's brilliant on looking and finding the best. Mm-hmm. Because the camera on iPhone wasn't that good.
And what year was this?
2012.
2012, right.
And she found Sony 6 had an application, Wi-Fi, in the camera. And you could immediately transfer into your phone, and was the best thing ever. So we start buying, because it was kind of expensive, $1,000. We start buying to few of them and sending the camera and teaching them how to use, because you need to learn how to use. Because to be a good makeup artist is not enough on social media. You need to be a good photographer to learn how to use light in your advantage. And now you have Facetune, but at that time you didn't.
And even taking selfies. With, I mean, Kim Kardashian was taking selfies, but not everybody was, of your own makeup.
Yes, yes. And then I went in Hong Kong and I discovered the ring light. And of course, I started sharing with all the people that I knew. But will be nights where I will follow somebody and I will say, well, I don't know, maybe you should try going closer, or don't put the entire face, go closer to the eye and tilt on one side. I mean, stuff like that. I want them to be successful, and I wanted to help them because they were young and they wanted to do something. It was a path that is just started in 2012.
Totally.
And so in return, they started taking pictures of your product and the looks they were creating.
Correct.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And that was, and I mean, now you have, I've read that, I mean, you obviously know this very well, that you have one of the top earned media values on Instagram. And so what that means to our listeners is that it's just that people are sharing without being paid, and they're that engaged and they love the products and the looks and they feel so strongly about your brand and connected to your brand that they're happy to share.
Because in my opinion, what the influencer have, they have to have the trust, they have to have the integrity with their followers, exactly how we have. So when we send somebody our products, they need to try it and talk about it. When they say we love it, indeed, their followers should say, yeah, she was right.
So I noticed that you personally just joined Instagram not that long ago, or have you had it for a long time? You yourself.
No, I just started because I'm starting a blog.
Oh, you are?
Thank you so much for noticing, because I was private for a while. I'm starting a blog. It's called The Arch. It's on our website.
Great name.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's what is Anastasia outside of the Anastasia Beverly Hills? Because, of course, on our Anastasia Beverly Hills, you will see tutorial how to use our products, and we feature a lot of people. But I have so many more interests and that I want to share on my Instagram, my life outside of, I mean, outside. I have no life outside the work. I'm married to my work. But activities that I have and interests that I have. I like fashion. I like so many. I like to travel. And I want to share with my followers all this. Like I just came back. Donatella Versace invited me to the show, the fashion show. Mm. And is a blog about her and the house, because in 1997 I went with Naomi Campbell to the show in Milan. I bought myself a jacket, and I went to Italy this year with the Gianni jacket. It was an original jacket. Nice. So special.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And then I went to the first year when she took over the brand.
Oh, yeah.
And I was backstage with Naomi. And it was impressive because this woman took over her brother that was bigger than anybody in fashion. And she was able with her strength to lead the company to be where it is today.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Very impressive. Yeah. So it's going to be a story about her and all about my travels. And most of the time, people that I admire, from chefs to makeup artists to name it.
Because you do have access to these people, and I'm sure you have wonderful experiences. Exactly. And people want to see beyond
Anastasia.
That was a great point, because relatively speaking, there are so few females who are on the Forbes list, who are CEOs and even founders of beauty brands. Mm-hmm. You know, they tend to get purchased and then it's not female run anymore.
But by the way, you know, California, we just passed a law that in you need to have at least one female on the board of director, which is excellent.
That's huge.
I think women are so important. I don't know why they don't want to have more women on the board, because they are strong and you have a different perspective of the business. It's different the way a woman looks at the business and different the way a man is going to look at the business. And you should have them both. I'm not saying you should have only women or only men.
It's both perspectives.
I think it's more
important.
Power to the brand and the company.
Especially when their clientele is female.
Exactly.
It's just like that story just rang so true with me when you're the guy's like his mind's blown that people actually showed up to your salon when you first.
Yes,
exactly. You're like, I told you.
Yes, of course. He couldn't understand.
What's some of the best advice you've received?
Of course, I'm going to go back to Oprah Winfrey that I'm lucky enough. I've been around her for 20 years, maybe 21 years. And by being around her and studying the way she thinks, the way she acts, the way she treats people. She's so smart and so kind, so respectful. I will never forget this. She got maybe 10 years ago the cover of Time magazine. So the photo shoot was in New York. So she calls me and she says, where are you? Are you by any chance in New York? I said, no, I'm in LA. What do you need? Like, oh, I'm nervous because I want to look great on the cover of the magazine and I haven't done my eyebrows. She was traveling. She was busy. Like, no problem. I jump on the plane and I will be there. Like, no. You can't do this. No, you have. You can't because it was Saturday, Sunday. Like, no, this is your weekend. Please don't do that. So we were on the phone for like 15 minutes. I was saying, no, I'm getting on a plane right now. And she was like, no, absolutely not. I will not do this. Mm-hmm. So she's so considerate of people's time. When she opened the school in South Africa, I was one of the 200 guests. And I cannot tell you. I've seen her when she turned 50 and she had the most incredible birthday party. And by the way, I was invited to the luncheon, 50 of her best friend. And I thought, oh my God, I am Oprah's friend.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible. Dream. But being there with her when it was in an auditorium, I've seen her in very important moments mm-hmm. of her life when she launched the O magazine, when networks, and I have never seen her more happy when she opened that school. Giving back was what she's meant to. I mean, and just being around her, I feel like if Oprah is like this, maybe I should be a tenth of her.
Yeah. I wish she would run for president. I really do.
Trust me, I tell her all the time.
Yeah.
But speaking of amazing women, and I couldn't help but notice, but when Kim Kardashian posted on her Instagram story a couple weeks ago, she was going to your party and she was wearing vintage Jeremy Scott money. She called it her money fit.
I know.
And her quote was, "What do you do when your friend sells her company for a couple billion? You wear a full money fit and throw her a party." So tell us about the party and what you were celebrating.
Okay. In August, I did a minority partner with TPG, that is a minority investment in my company, because I want to expand. I had to sit down with my daughter and say, hey, we need to expand. We want to be a global company. But doing that takes a lot of operation to go and expand in Asia. Yes, I could do that, but I want to be in the office to create more products, to be hands-on on what's going on and kind of conduct the business from the office. So there were articles everywhere about this transaction. Kim goes on her Insta story. Everybody is talking. You sold the company. You're like, no, I didn't sell the company. That was the line, perfect line for Kim.
Yeah.
But was
well, thank
very
you for
fun.
Clarifying.
Yes, and I wanted to clarify.
I'm glad that you had a party anyway. And that she had an opportunity to wear that.
They
outfit.
Were so incredible because Chris and Kim throw me that party. They are amazing women. I mean, I know them for so many years and I respect their work ethic and everything they do. Really, they are very nice people. And not only them, I have to say, all my celebrity clients, like Jennifer Lopez, that works so hard. Not only she's talented, but she works so hard. Mm-hmm. Remember, all this celebrity that we love and admire, they work really hard, okay? Yeah. They are talented, but they work very hard. Mm-hmm. They are serious about their job. So I learn a lot being around them because success doesn't come easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
comes with sacrifices, comes with a lot of work, and just overnight success always takes at least 10 years, you know, sometimes 20.
I think we should ask some brow tips.
Yes, because I'm worried we'll run out of time. This is what our listeners have. They're like, do not let her go.
Yeah. Okay, ask me questions.
I need to ask you.
Yes.
The sisters twins thing with brows. Yes. What does that mean? And do you subscribe to that?
So the reason why your left eyebrow and right eyebrow are different, maybe because sometimes you tweeze them different, because it's one way to hold and tweeze the right eyebrow. When you tweeze the left, you cross your face so your hand goes up. Mm. So you will tweeze this much more, the left eyebrow, more than the right eyebrow. Because when you tweeze the right, the hand goes down. When you tweeze the left, the hand goes up. Mm. You cross your face. Mm-hmm. This is one thing. Second is the muscles that will change the shape of the eyebrows. Even if, let's say, you didn't touch your eyebrows, so you have virgin eyebrows, but one eyebrow is higher and the other one is lower, is because of the muscles. Most of the time, and trust me, in my 28 years of doing eyebrows, I went crazy because I couldn't understand what is that. Probably 80% of people have the right eyebrow after 40, 50, higher than the left eyebrow. So I thought, I talked with the doctor that they were heart surgeon. Maybe because the left side works more, that's why I'm like, no, it's not. Well, guess what? From an ophthalmologist, I figure out, is the vision. Most of us, especially now, even younger generation, have one eyebrow. When you hold your phone, you look from the right side. So this eye is going to, the muscle, you want to look and to see better. Mm-hmm. So the muscle is tighter, so it gets tighter. So this is more open and this is tight.
So the right eye is more open.
So the right eye is more open and the left eye is tighter.
Like squinting.
Squinting.
Oh.
And that's why.
Okay, you're blowing my mind right now.
Do you understand?
Yeah, that's insane.
I went crazy because I couldn't understand. And years and years, but that's the secret.
Oh my God, I'm going to be looking from the left to the right.
I know, I got to even shit out over here.
Okay, and how do you find the best tone to shade your brows with? Is it, do you go the, cooler or what do you?
The best way is if you have very light eyebrow, you use one shade darker. If you have dark eyebrow, you use one shade lighter. Okay. But ideal colors is you use one shade lighter to create almost like a base. Mm-hmm. And then with pomade or another pencil that is two shades darker, you create strokes of hair. Because if you want to have a natural eyebrows, think of a natural eyebrow. The hairs are darker and they create a shadow on the skin.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a good point. And what do you make of microblading?
Microblading, look, it looks good for 2 weeks, then changes the color, but it's your choice. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you still need to cover that up because sometimes they turns little orange, little pink, blue, black. So you still need to use products to cover that.
Okay. Yeah.
And one of our listeners, his name is Jason. Mm-hmm. He would like to know, and by the way, you do a lot of men's brows too, right? Like Ryan Seacrest and all tons of celebrities.
David Beckham.
Yeah. Ooh. So Jason wants to know, how do you feel about the new liquid pen brow trend? So I think he's talking about those more like ink type of, the microbladed
feathering
look.
Yeah. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason, I think you could use anything you want, as long as you blend after you apply. Mm-hmm. And depends. If you are a man and you have some empty spots, you could use very fine strokes of hair with that pen, as long as it looks natural and you blend. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
And what's your one brow tip that you want all of our listeners to know?
Don't over-tweeze your eyebrows. Because they don't grow back. That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, lately, you've seen the Rihanna cover and with the pencil thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, editorial looks amazing. In real life, definitely not. It's not like you get a haircut and I don't like it because it's too short, but it's going to grow back in 2 years. Well, eyebrow doesn't.
Yeah.
So save every single hair that you have.
We have a little quickie round of rapid fire. What's the most LA thing about you?
Most LA, I drive a Porsche. Hold on. I drive a Porsche and has two green rims and two green bands, like a sport car.
Oh, I love
Not
it.
Only that. Yes.
Oh my gosh, we need a shot of you.
I know. I wish I would
get Instagram. What's your self-care secret?
Oh my God. It's long. I use so much skincare and hair care that I think I have a Sephora in my bathroom. And I constantly switch because I feel like my skin gets used to. So I change. I have very dry skin.
Okay.
And it's very important. I grew up with my mother that was obsessed with skincare. Mm-hmm. Me and my daughter the same. Skincare for us is very
What's
important.
What's your favorite? I have to ask.
Oh, I use SkinCeuticals and I use Tatcha. I use Drunken Elephant. Mm-hmm. I use Guerlain. I mean, I use so much.
Yeah.
What would you cook if you were hosting a dinner party?
Oh, I'm a very good cook, actually. Mm. Very, very good cook. Well, if I'm home, I cook and I go to Italy. They have a farmer's market there. And I cook branzino, grilled branzino, vegetables. I cook very clean because I eat very clean and I like to work out. But branzino with the herbs inside and some slice of orange and in salt. I cover in salt and I bake them, or sometimes I will grill them. I like salmon, grilled salmon as well. And I do some vegetable dishes steamed or with olive oil, simple, and balsamic vinegar.
Beautiful.
Who's the person that still makes you starstruck, like if you see them at the Grove or something?
I mean, I was starstruck when I went to the White House and I met the president. I thought that was incredible. Romanian woman. I came 25 years ago from Romania, and I am under the seal of United States at the White House. I thought, this is my ultimate dream. Like, I'm done.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. By the way, you have incredible eyebrows. Let's talk about it.
Do we get that on
tape?
Yes, we did. Oh, my God. Thanks for tuning in. Visit BreakingBeautyPodcast.com for details on all the damn good products we talked about in today's episode.
And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way you'll get every episode delivered right to your inbox. You won't miss a single thing.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And please show us some love by rating us or reviewing us in iTunes. See you next time.